Welcome in, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Time for another week of Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Zach Boyd. It's the Monday, May 6th, 2024 edition of the program. Lots going on in the world of sports. It was a very sneaky good weekend, in my opinion, with lots happening. If you like variety, you certainly like the weekend in sports. We are broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Their spring sale marches on. Factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture, and so much more. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Check them out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. And the first hour of the program brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Currently 66 degrees. We're looking at 84 for a high today. Partly to mostly cloudy, with widely scattered showers or thunderstorms possible this afternoon. About a 32% of chance of rain. We had a lot of rain overnight. We had a lot of rain yesterday. Certainly affecting a little bit of the music fest that was going on, but they eventually got it all in. Tonight you're looking at 71 for a low, partly cloudy skies. The rain should be rolling out. And then your Tuesday, you'll see some sun, you'll see some clouds, about a 24% chance of rain with a high of 84 degrees on your Tuesday. Coming up on the program today, everything from Tigers football as a couple of players are headed to the University of Memphis through the portal, to the NBA playoffs, to the Stanley Cup playoffs, some great action, to a wild finish at the Kentucky Derby, and with the NASCAR race, amazing, the closest NASCAR finish ever. And then you had a three-horse finish in the Kentucky Derby, the first photo finish of that kind with three horses since the 1940s. Another rough one for the Showboats. We'll talk about that on the program today. We got plenty of NFL news. And Tom Brady was roasted last night and did some roasting of his own. Quite interesting, to say the least. They are just some of the topics that we will be talking about on the program today. I don't think right now we can take any calls or texts, but when we get that rectified, we will let you know. Eli, are we good for both calls and texts?
We can take texts for sure.
Text for sure? Okay, 901-360-8255. That is your Sports 56, or Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. So as Eli said, you can text in, and text in as much as you want, 901-360-8255. What a wild weekend it was. How are you, man?
I am doing well, doing fantastic. It was an interesting weekend, certainly.
I was in St. Louis and spent 3 days at Busch Stadium watching the Cardinals and the Chicago White Sox, two of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Literally, I couldn't ask for a worse setting.
No, but here's the thing. My schedule, and I've been able to get up pretty much once a year. A mutual friend of ours is a big Cardinals fan, so I do this for him. And usually we have more than just the two of us, but a couple of guys couldn't go. And it was the only weekend that worked out with both our schedules. I got vacation coming up. I got other things happening. Still got some Memphis baseball. They're away half the time, so it worked out where this was the weekend. So it didn't really even matter who they were playing. It was just going up there, having a good time. I still don't think there's anything like going to a Major League Baseball game, even bad teams. It's just the atmosphere, the ambiance, everything about it. Since I was just a little tadpole watching games at old Connie Mack and then at Veterans Stadium and then obviously up to Citizens Bank. But going to different ballparks around the country. I mean, you do it, I do it. People who have any care for baseball, they do it because they want to see different ballparks. But for folks around here, a lot of the fans are for the Cardinals, and they'll make that trek to St. Louis. So, again, atmosphere, everything's great. By the way, on Saturday, 31,000, I think, was announced. And the St. Louis Battlehawks, right down the road, had 39,000. So there was 70,000 announced in that little area of St. Louis. And I'll tell you what, I'm walking around the ballpark, and a couple of times we parked right across the way because we stayed right there. And then on Sunday, we drove in and we parked in a different lot a ways away. It was a nice walk, nice comfortable walk. Wasn't a ton of, I mean, there was a couple of veterans out there that, you know, I certainly salute the veterans. There was nobody hawking you. There was nobody out there scalping tickets. There was nobody out there asking for money. There was no panhandlers. It was fantastic. It was just a nice atmosphere. But I'll go back to well before the contract extension for Marmol, which I was totally against. And I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm a Phillies fan. But I remember when I said last year, this guy should not have a job at the end of the season. And there were some people that just said, no, you're wrong. Ollie's the guy. And even Mike Claiborne, our buddy, 2 weeks ago when he was on with us, last week, whenever it was, he said, no, that I think they made the right call in extending it. Now, a lot of people are pissed at Mozeliak, but it goes hand in hand. He's the one who gave Marmol the extension. There were four or five different situations in those games over the weekend that I watched, and I said, and this is just my opinion, but I've called a billion baseball games, this is the wrong move. This is the wrong move. That's the wrong move. And you lose 2 of 3 to the Chicago White Sox, who came in on a 9-game losing streak on the road. So they don't win at home. They don't win on the road. But they specifically don't win on the road. 9 straight losses on the road. 6 total wins. They beat the Cardinals 2 out of 3. And if the Cardinals, if it wasn't for Sonny Gray, I don't know if this team would ever win. Goldschmidt can't hit right now. He's in a slump. Finally, Arenado came out of it. He's starting to hit the ball. Contreras was good. And that was it. They have a bunch of guys that are hitting like 190, 204. It didn't work early in the season with Walker, who's with Memphis, with Scott. Carlson just came back yesterday and played. But this is you just don't see this with the Cardinals. And I'm sure you're all broken up by it.
Yeah, I mean, it is rough for me to see those two teams both be bad. Hate that for those fans.
Yeah, what deal did you make with the baseball gods? Come on now.
But, they went, and in the offseason, obviously knew they had to upgrade the pitching staff, they basically signed a bunch of old guys, hoping that they could go. But in the end, I mean, for the Cardinals, if Paul Goldschmidt's going to hit, nothing, it's going to be tough for them. And, I mean, he's slugging .280 right now.
Yeah.
OPS of .570. He still has a negative war. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is a negative war right now.
All he did was strike out or pop up in the series.
And while Arenado's, better than that, but Arenado's still only 2 home runs. Outside of Contreras, offensively, there really isn't anybody doing anything. And then you got an old pitching staff that, while it may be a little bit better, it's certainly not going to make up for an offense that is producing very, very little. So, yeah, they've got some issues, and with the fact that those the Walkers and some of these other young guys did not work early in the year, it makes it difficult for those folks looking forward of how you try to dig yourself out of it.
Yeah, I don't dwell too much on it, but it was because I was there for the weekend series that I wanted to open up talking about my weekend, and we'll get to your weekend here in a second. But, things like Friday night, they brought in the closer. They won 3-0. Sonny Gray was great. The Helsley, he comes in. I like the whole entrance thing. They darken the stadium, the, like, little fire and everything for the hell part. But then Marmol uses him again, coming in the 9th inning of a tie game on Saturday. Day game, right after the night game. But uses him again. And I don't even know why he brought him in. It was a tie game. Then he's out, and they end up losing. And by the way, that was crazy. There's 1 strike, 2 outs in the 9th inning. The Cardinals have the bases loaded. And this is the bottom of the 10th. The White Sox had just scored and grabbed the lead. 1 strike on, I think it was Gorman, and the floodgates opened. I mean, it rained like hell. And we hung around for a while, and then we ended up watching the Derby on the Jumbotron. We were in the area where rain wasn't coming down on us. We had the roof on top of us. It was fantastic. But we left. Then we left. We're not hanging around for 2 more strikes. So it ended up being a 3-hour delay. They had to come back. obviously fixed the field a couple of times. They tarped it twice, and then they eventually finished the game, and they brought in the pinch hitter, Herrera. Again, I wasn't there for this, and then supposedly it was a horrible call on the third strike. But they loaded the bases with no outs, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. How about a safety squeeze? Get the runner in. Tie the game up. I mean, there wasn't – just the things that he did, his decision-making is mind-boggling. And now the fans are coming out and starting to display their displeasure, which is not often the case in St. Louis. They got – it seems like the nicest fan base I've ever dealt with. But they are now starting to realize that Mozeliak has to go or Marmol has to go or both of them have to go. It won't happen probably, but they're outspoken now. They're speaking up. They're speaking their mind with that bad play. So that's the way it was. But again, it was a great weekend just to get away, to have some fun, drink a few beers, eat some food on the hill, which I did, and get back last night, drive through a bunch of storms, unfortunately, and here I am. And I know for your weekend, it wasn't much better doing the Showboats game. I don't know if anybody expected them to beat Birmingham. I certainly didn't, but it did not go well. They got the early lead. They end up losing 39-21 as Birmingham clinches a playoff spot already at 6-0. And the Showboats lose their fifth straight, drop to 1-5.
Yeah. Birmingham just has this this whole spring football thing figured out. It's pretty amazing what they've done. I mean, they are now in midway through the third year of the spring football. They're 27-3.
Is that good?
The thing is too, like they've done it. It's been a different quarterback every year. This year it's been two quarterbacks. Now I would think finally at this point, and I asked Tim afterwards, and he was very diplomatic about it. But I would think that Adrian Martinez now has the job, and it is definitely his going forward, and no more of this flip flopping at all. I'm blown away by Adrian Martinez, quite frankly, from what I thought he was from his college days as a thrower. To what I've witnessed in the two games that he's played against the Showboats this year, he is putting balls in anywhere, wherever he needs it to be, he's putting it. Like small window, doesn't matter. Like deep balls, he's dropping them in perfectly. Guys aren't breaking stride. Like he has been, and coming in, he was leading the league in rushing yards as well. Now, against the Showboats, the two games, he hasn't really ran that much. Hadn't had to. He's thrown for over 300 yards. He's actually got over 700 yards in the two games against the Showboats through the air. But it's that dude has been amazing. If I will be shocked if he does not, if he's not with an NFL team this season.
Okay, but why do you think that Skip Holtz is all of a sudden now going to just start him the rest of the way? He's been going back and forth with Corral and Martinez.
Well, he did. This was his second straight. And again, I think that, I mean, he is, of the games where they've done one quarterback, he has started now three of the four. And he's just been better. I mean, not that Corral was bad in the one he did when he started, but Martinez has been. He in those three games, he threw for 300 against the Showboats. He ran for like 140 last week against who did they beat? That was Houston. Ran for like 140, threw for like 200, and then this week throws for 360 or whatever. I mean, like the guy's been, he's not making a mistake. And so I'm guessing that he has won the job at this point, and that they will, and I'm sure Skip Holtz will still act like it's a competition on a weekly basis, but I would be really surprised. Now, again, coming off the last game against the Showboats when he lit them up, they did go to Corral the next week. But again, now Martinez has started the last two. I would guess that Martinez is the guy going forward. And again, he's just playing great. I mean, there's certainly a lot of talent, but I mean, there were 10 different receivers that caught balls. Like, he's just throwing it to everybody, doing whatever he wants. He's tough to bring down. He's a bigger guy than I thought too. He came into the postgame press conference and I was like, wow, okay, he's I knew he was big. He's big. Like, no wonder he's able to escape and do some of the stuff he does. But yeah, he's and Yes, for Skip Holtz, like it's like that dude is just, I don't know. They have, like I said, they have figured this thing out. Like they are, you know, they've put together the talent, and they just every single week, it's like they don't seem to have a bad performance. They just come out and take care of business on a weekly basis, and they've been doing it now for 2.5 seasons.
Well, I look at it differently. I look at the fact that nobody can beat this team. They've already clinched a playoff spot. I don't see him taking Corral out of the rotation completely, even if Martinez is out playing him. I think you keep Martinez fresh for the postseason. So I would be surprised if Martinez starts the rest of the games. He doesn't have to, but you're right. I mean, he's playing at another level. It's different quarterbacks every single year. They own the trademark of how to win in spring football here the last few years, whether it be the USFL or the UFL. And then on the flip side, you know, we got to talk about our team. We got to talk about the Showboats. I was in St. Louis. There was 39,000. And Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk just wrote about that, saying the NFL has to take notice. Yeah, well, the NFL has taken notice because they've had two different teams in St. Louis. And much to the chagrin of the fans, it wasn't their fault. They lost both those teams. And who knows if Jacksonville will move. I don't see expansion happening. I think it's pretty solid what they have in the NFL, but if there's a team that's moving, you got to consider St. Louis. It's crazy. The Cardinals were playing that afternoon. They were playing at 2 o'clock, the Battle Hawks. They got 39,000 people. There were so many people in the Cardinals game wearing Battle Hawks gear. But that's an anomaly, unfortunately, right now in the league, because there's struggles in Memphis, but there's struggles in other cities as well. 1-5 doesn't endear you to the fan base. And I'm a little disappointed. I'm a lot disappointed. I thought the team would be better, maybe not being able to beat Birmingham, but I thought they would be better. Defensively, he kept Carnell Lake as the DC, thought they would be the strength of their team, and it's not. They have really struggled. Cookus gets hit so many times that I don't know, did he end up getting knocked out of the game or he just brought in Troy Williams just to bring him in?
No, he was not hurt. He just pulled him.
Yeah, there was one play he got hit because we were watching the game at what's the Cardinals thing? Cardinals Live or whatever, the big where the bars are and the restaurants and all. We're watching the Showboats. And, you know, I'm just early on, they looked good. They went right down the field. And then you called the game. You know what I'm talking about. The Battlehawks scored 2 touchdowns. They run that same 2-point play right over the middle, wide open. So what I'm disappointed at the most, the offensive line can't protect Cookus, so they're not running the ball well. The offensive line is at fault. But two, the defense has not been close to what they expected.
Yeah, I did not see this at all from the defense. You know, they were good in week one. They were good for the first half of week two. Like, they were dominant that first half of week two against San Antonio. And then ever since that second half against San Antonio, they just haven't been able to get to really stop anybody. They haven't been able to get to quarterbacks the way they were early. And, you know, they've been giving up over 30 points on a weekly basis. They're giving up, you know, this week was, 460-something total yards, I think it was. Again, the only 200-300-yard passing performances in the league for the season have both been Adrian Martinez against the Showboats. Mm-hmm. You know, the week before they gave up the 5 rushing touchdowns to Michigan. St. Louis ran the ball all over them, had a 100-yard rusher in that game. The defense it's been a struggle. And, you know, the first play of the game was a perfect little, I guess, kind of summation of their season, and the way things are going. They had, and coach had told us first play, we're going to take a deep shot, told us exactly what the play was going to be. Talk about they were going to, going to slant the offensive line this way, use the tight end, make sure, like, try and get, you got extra protection, all of this stuff. And sure enough, first play of the game, snap, guy's open, the play's open, they're going to have a deep ball, and Cookus gets hit before he can get rid of it.
Right.
And it's a sack, which against Birmingham, the first play of the game, both times was a sack. The fumble by Cookus, his offensive lineman, it's his, as he's going to throw, it hits the helmet of his offensive lineman and knocks it free. Like, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, it's almost like anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And they literally can't get out of their own way, like to the point where they're forcing fumbles on their own team. I mean, like the guy, it's his helmet. It's the offensive lineman's helmet that hits the football and knocks it out. And it's a real struggle. And I don't know, defensively, especially the quarter, Cookus has not played as well as they hoped. It is a new offense for him, and he has struggled a bit to pick it up and I think understand where he's supposed to go. And so he holds on to the ball a little bit too long at times, allowing some of these sacks to happen. But and again, the offensive line certainly struggles to begin with. But that defense, like I would have never imagined after what their defense did last year, mm-hmm. and then, you know, again, through the first game and a half this year, the idea that they're just right now can't really stop anybody I never in a million years saw that coming. And I don't, because it's not like they got a bunch of injuries on the defensive side. Like they're pretty much healthy on the defensive side of the ball. These are the guys that were here. A lot of them were here last year. It's a 300-yard passer, then it's a 100-yard rusher, then it's a 300-yard passer. Now this week they get the team with the longer losing streak than them, Arlington, who should have ended their losing streak yesterday, but found a way to lose that game. So it's, you know, you have to beat Arlington at this point. I mean, if the 0-6 team, it's weird because it is a road game, and I use air quotes, but it is the one game that they don't have to travel for. So,
right.
I don't know if it's a road game or a home game or what it is this week. But
And Arlington won the XFL last year, so don't look at 0-6 and go they're going to definitely get a win over Arlington.
No, I mean, they were 4-6 during the regular season, but yes,
I understand.
But they, you know, again, they should have won yesterday. They had the game won. They got a horrendous call. That did not go their way at the end of the game, mm-hmm. where an offsides penalty was missed. Otherwise, they win that game yesterday in all likelihood. So it was they've been close in a lot of games. Right. There's been a number of games where they've been right there and had an opportunity to win. So
right.
No, it's not going to be easy to get that win. And if you don't get that win, then I don't know. Like it's Michigan again on the road, and then you've got two home games to finish the year. Houston, obviously, a team you've already beaten. DC is a team that did get a win yesterday, a nice win for them yesterday. So, yeah, it's a struggle, and they're trying to figure it out. But it is a rough go.
Martinez, as Eli said, over 300. How about 368 passing, 4 touchdowns, 23 of 36.
He has. He has now 700, just over 700 yards passing against the Showboats, and less than 300 yards passing against the rest of the league.
Yeah, probably a lot more running yards, rushing yards against the rest of the league. Cookus was 15 of 23, 115, a touchdown, lost 2 fumbles. Again, Showboats lose at 39-21. All right, when we come back, Memphis Tigers football. Oh, we don't take a break, okay? We just talked for 3 straight hours. All right, I got you. I didn't know. I do want to tell you, though, about Crazy Coop. Crazy Coop is America's premier wing destination. Has 32 delicious flavors to choose from and counting. Yes, they're always looking to add to their repertoire, like the Crazy Lemon Twist, a savory, zesty, and citrusy taste of fresh lemon twists. The Jalapeno Cheddar, an acidic and spicy flavor completed with a burst of sharp cheddar, or the Crazy Sweet Heat, tangy sweetness followed by the heat. That's just 3 of the amazing 32 chicken wing seasonings that you can get at the Crazy Coop in Bartlett at 7199 Stage Road. It's where Bartlett meets Memphis. Ask about their Crazy Coop special for lunch today. Choose from 3 whole wings or 6 party wings, fries, and a drink for just $9.99. Family owned and operated. They also have great catfish sandwiches, juicy half-pound burgers, delicious sides like the fried okra, the fried dill pickles, the green tomatoes. They're open 7 days a week from 11 until 9, so for lunch and dinner. Ask about their catering services. They will cater your event no matter how large or how small. Just ask them about that and find them on Instagram and Facebook. You try the rest, now try the best wings in town. It's the Crazy Coupe, 7199 Highway 64 between Appling and Kirby Whitten.
The Wayne text in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. Says Birmingham players outsized the Memphis players so much it looked like an NFL team against a high school team. Well, I'll say this, Birmingham's defense, they are, like, they've got every, it seems like, and it's almost the case. Like, all of their defensive players have NFL experience. Like, they were just, their defense is loaded with dudes, and especially up front. Their guys they've got up front defensively are men. I mean, it's...
Well, let me just say this. And
Taco Charlton's a backup for them, who's a first-round pick. Marvin Wilson, coming out of high school, was like a top five recruit in the country when he went to Florida State. He's a backup defensive lineman.
The decision makers,
men up front.
The decision makers for Birmingham since the USFL started are outsmarting everybody. That's all there is to it. They're better decision makers. They pick the right players. I mean, I'm watching guys like CJ Maribel, who didn't even get a lot of carries, but has been so steady, the former USC running back. On and on and on. Don't get me started. I look at that team and I go, wow. And then I look, unfortunately, at the Showboats and other teams, and I go, you guys don't even stack up. You can't even compare to this Birmingham team. Like you said, 27-3. 27-3, and now their third year, that's the two in the USFL, and now the first year in the UFL. 27-3. Come on now.
And they got St. Louis this week. They are I think without question, these are the two best teams in the league.
Yes.
I think St. Louis is the best team of the XFL side.
Where's it at?
Offensively. It's in Birmingham. Okay. Offensively, St. Louis has a lot of weapons, and you got A.J. McCarron, who's seen it all. So I'm going to be interested to see how that matchup goes and just what St. Louis's offense can do against Birmingham's defense.
What is Birmingham drawing?
They average around, I think, I can't remember what, they're probably 9,000-10,000.
Right. If they can't get 15,000 to 20,000 for this game, that's an issue. I don't know how many people will come down from St. Louis, but I'm telling you, everywhere I walk, there was either Cardinals gear on or it was Battlehawks gear on. Those fans came out. I give a lot of respect to the St. Louis fandom. Again, if there's any city in this country that should be pissed about the NFL, it's St. Louis. They've lost two franchises. I know people say, well, Memphis, we were in the running. Stop it. Okay, they had two teams, and they were taken away. Both those teams were taken away. And they may end up getting a third, because that's how good their fan base is. And it doesn't matter if the Showboats fans came out and they got 40,000 fans. They weren't getting an NFL team. St. Louis still has hopes that maybe Jacksonville, they're a team that's struggling. There's not too many teams struggling because owners are making money hand over fist. But maybe Jacksonville down the road would be looking for a new location, and St. Louis again would be at the top of the list.
St. Louis ain't getting another team else to get a new stadium.
And maybe they'd voted in. I don't know. Right now, I know it's a struggle. But the fans are coming out to support football. And I got to tip my cap. All right. Speaking of football. Memphis football with some news from last night as Ryan Silverfield has dipped into the portal. He said he wasn't going to do much, so there's two players that have committed to Memphis, and we'll see how many more. They did lose a few players. I would think that Coach Silverfield and his staff are looking to add an offensive lineman and maybe add a defensive back since they lost two D-backs to Mississippi State. Thank you very much, Matt Barnes. But they pick up an offensive lineman and a running back. The offensive lineman they pick up, defensive lineman and a running back. The defensive lineman they pick up is Reggie Grimes II. He was highly ranked recruit out of Ravenwood High School, which is in Tennessee, and played four seasons with the University of Oklahoma. He didn't play a ton. He totaled 43 tackles, but he has committed for that grad season, that final season, to play for the University of Memphis. Also, the Tigers get a running back / kick returner. He comes from UMass, started his career at Louisville, and his name is Greg DeRosier Jr. Greg DeRosier Jr., he is very versatile. He rushed for 301 yards. He caught 185 yards receiving out of the backfield for UMass. but he is a really good kick returner. And so I would imagine that he's going to be a guy that battles for that job in Memphis. But a little bit of added personnel in the running back room. Remember that Jay Ducker hit the transfer portal. So they lost a running back, so now they've added the running back. But I still believe there could be a defensive back and maybe an offensive lineman added, but it's not going to be too many other guys for Ryan Silverfield. So two pickups, we'll see how good they turn out to be.
Yeah, again, I mean, if you're getting a guy that was at Oklahoma for 4 years, I mean, you certainly think there's some talent there. I mean, especially he's getting on the field for Oklahoma.
Right.
So you certainly have to believe they're... there's got to be a bit of talent there, and obviously you're a veteran guy, so hopefully he could come in and maybe be a contributor on the defensive side of the ball. And as far as running backs go, heck, depth cannot be a problem there. Adding extra guys into the running back rotation, or at least in that room, certainly not a bad thing if you can do that.
From the NFL, since we're on the topic of pigskin, J.J. Watt telling D'Amico Ryans, his former teammate, the head coach of the Houston Texans, if you absolutely are in a pinch and need me, I'll be there for you. I'm willing to cut. It's a one-year offer. In other words, I'm not going to do this next year. I'm not going to do it the year after. I think J.J. Watt probably, as most players, miss the camaraderie, miss the competition. But he may be thinking, you know what, this Houston team, they took a major step last year. They did really, really well in the offseason. Maybe they make a run at the Super Bowl. I don't have a Super Bowl ring. So, hey, if you need me, D'Amico, just give me a call.
Yeah, I mean, they're
put them on speed dial.
They're going to be really, really good. And so, but if it's not like J.J. Watt's 42 years old.
Exactly.
Like J.J. Watt probably still has something left in him. So if they did, if they had an injury or something like that, maybe on the defensive line, maybe they do make that move. But yeah, I mean, he would, if they weren't any good, he's not going to be making this offer. But the fact that they're really good, yeah, hey, listen, if you need me, I would be willing to come back for this team. That's not a bad thing.
No, I know he stays in great shape. He works out all the time now. He's not in football shape. But again, that shouldn't take long to get into that shape, whip him up into that shape if need be. And again, he's very close with D'Amico, having been a teammate with him, has a lot of respect. I think of that mutual respect. And a lot of people have respect for what J.J. Watt was all about as a player and a competitor. So that's one of those where it's at least newsworthy, because sometimes you hear a player say that, they're not coming out of retirement. That's just words. But this, I think there's some legitimacy to it. Again, if they're down some players. Now we get to the the roast. I'll be honest up front, I didn't get a chance to see it. I got back from St. Louis late. I heard that the roast for Tom Brady, which was on Netflix, meaning they let the expletives fly, as Cosmo Kramer once said, and it was nearly 3 hours long. Did you watch it at all?
I did not.
Okay. Have you seen some of the clips?
I have not.
The clips are great. And if the clips are any indication of how good it was for 3 hours, it's probably worth my viewing of 3 hours. But first of all, Tom Brady deciding that it was, okay, I'm going to get roasted. So you know those roasts with Jeff Ross, the roast master, and all those people who are professional comedians that come out and just do their damage. Nikki Glaser is one, who, by the way, is from St. Louis. But Bill Belichick doing the roasting and getting roasted a lot. Robert Kraft was there doing that as well. It was no holds bar. Again, I haven't seen it all, but from the clips I've seen, it was wild, a wild scene. Now, there was a clip of Jeff Ross. You wonder, can they go too far? Gronk was there. Edelman was there. Bledsoe was there. I heard Drew Bledsoe. I haven't seen a clip from Drew Bledsoe. I heard he was great. But there was a clip where Jeff Ross, and people who know the roasts, Jeff Ross is the roast master. He started to talk about Robert Kraft and getting the old massage.
I don't know what he said, but Tom Brady got up and actually whispered in his ear, and people, and you could hear it over the mic, that he said, "That's it with that." Like, that was the one area that was too far. Yet Tom Brady said something to the effect of, you know, when we were playing, it was pretty simple for the tight ends. It was something like, run your route, catch the ball, don't murder. That was Brady. Brady saying that. But Belichick, Edelman just goes crazy on Belichick, talking about him needing a job, and, you know, nobody reached out. He said the only person, the only team that reached out was like this high school team that he said Belichick used to compare the guys to in the locker room, like rip them apart, say, you wouldn't even beat this St. Aloysius high school team. And he goes, you didn't even get an offer from St. Aloysius or whatever. So Belichick's laughing, you know, belly laughs and all that. And then he comes back and he starts hammering. He said he was talking about Gronk and him on NFL Today. And I guess the old thing was do your job, right? He would say to the players, do your job, Belichick. Do your job. And so he's roasting all the guys. He goes, Gronk, about his job at NFL, at the NFL and CBS or whatever it was, don't do your job. So these are just the little clips that I saw. I can't wait to watch the whole thing. Hopefully it's, I just go to Netflix and it's on repeat. I would imagine it would be. But for Tom Brady to allow that to happen, of course, there's going to be all the Giselle jokes. I mean, he knew what was coming. And there's a lot of things. Deflategate. He talked about Deflategate and all that stuff. He said, if I knew they were going to spend $20 or $30 million to investigate Deflategate, I would have just told you I did it. I mean, things like that. So anyway, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Didn't get a chance to watch it last night, but I will certainly go back and watch that. I would have been better if Giselle was there.
And Giselle she roasted him?
Giselle should have been a roaster.
Wow, that would have been something. But he, you know, to allow your, let your hair down, kick back, and know that you're going to get eviscerated. You're going to take it from every angle, from every person, and he did it. But again, the one that crossed the line for him was Jeff Frost going after Robert Kraft and the massage. But Robert Kraft was great. And then Kevin Hart, not, again, these are only clips, I didn't even see it. Kevin Hart got Kraft.
Of course Kevin Hart had to be there.
Of course he did.
Because he's everywhere.
He got Kraft and Belichick together, and then Kraft talked about, you know, I had the greatest coach ever, the greatest quarterback ever, and he pulls out a shot glass, and he salutes Belichick, and Belichick salutes him, and they both take a shot, and Kevin Hart goes, he goes, look at this, you know, like, it took a black man to get these guys together again.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there were the reports that, like, Kraft supposedly, like, kind of sabotaged Belichick in trying to get a new job this offseason. So I wonder what their relationship is right now.
Exactly. Well, maybe that last night brought it back to strengthened it. I don't know how it was when he was a part of the organization. Belichick was a part of the organization and winning all these Super Bowl titles. Obviously, he loved him, but in the back of his mind was Kraft like, all right, I mean, he's a curmudgeon, but he's my curmudgeon, and he's doing his job, so we don't have to be best friends. I don't know if they were really, really tight or not, but to have all these guys do this, Belichick is, I don't know if Belichick is purposely on a mission to get people to like him, to appreciate him, to think he has a personality. Because nobody believed that. Nobody believed the guy had a personality, that he was just a machine. And now all of a sudden he's coming out and doing things, whether it be part of McAfee's draft coverage, Pat McAfee, or whether it's this. You're seeing a personable side of Belichick. Kraft was always good. Kraft would speak his mind. He was always there for people, but you know, he would speak up. Belichick, you know Belichick, he wouldn't answer anything. And now he's being parts of roasts where he's getting roasted and laughing, and he's roasting others. It's a whole different Belichick. And they confirmed, Peyton Manning confirmed that he will be a part of the Manning podcast during Monday Night Football. So Belichick will be working that. I'm not sure if he's doing every
podcast, the Manning cast.
Manning cast, excuse me. I don't know if it's every game or every other game or once in a while, but whatever the case is, that Belichick is making the most of not getting a job.
Yeah, the... I mean, Belichick just...
You okay?
Yeah. Belichick, I mean, again, it's a whole different ballgame when he's not a coach up there. He was never going to answer questions about his team or anything else. Like, he didn't want to do that. But not having to do that, not being a coach, not having to talk about that is a whole different ballgame. He has no problem talking about other things.
Well, I don't think he showed much of a personality, whether it be about football or anything, during his tenure with the Patriots. During his tenure in the NFL, for goodness sakes, going back to his days with Cleveland. But people said, who were tight with him, that he does have a personality, that he's not really like this. We talked about this last week one day about, I don't know what it was about, but we brought up Popovich and Belichick, and who has that real personality? Who are they different than what they project to be? And Belichick is a little bit surprising. In fact, I think a lot surprising that he has this type of personality. So anyway, I'm going to, when I have a chance, to watch that roast in full. If you don't care to hear expletives, then you probably do not want to watch it. It was on Netflix. It wasn't on Comedy Central. So everything is out there for you to watch.
And you can't roast without expletives.
Yeah, but when you watch it on Comedy Central, they bleep it.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, you have to have those in a roast.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. But some of the things they got away with on Comedy Central that you wouldn't get away on, like ABC, CBS, NBC, but not as serious with the expletives as you can certainly on, pay networks like Netflix and things like that. All right. Wanted to talk about the NBA. And there's a lot to talk about with the NBA. We'll do that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about Shoot 360 Memphis. From preps to pros, this place is just downright cool. If you want to perfect your shot, you want to challenge yourself and compete with others, but be the best basketball player you can be, not only with your shot, but with your passing abilities, but with competition. Learn the proper ways to shoot the basketball using modern analytics. Then Shoot 360 Memphis is for you. So the plea is for the parents out there, for the grandparents out there, for coaches, think about it. This is the place for your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, the players to go to. But it's also great for adults as well. But graduation, you're thinking about a graduation present. What would be cool? Well, I know my son or my daughter plays basketball. This is the perfect gift, a birthday gift. When Christmas comes around, a Christmas gift. Give them a membership to Shoot 360 Memphis. This is the same system that stars like Steph Curry use, and that's true. It's a revolutionary training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with expert coaching to improve shooting skills. The facility is equipped with advanced shooting and advanced shooting machines that provide real-time feedback on shooting accuracy and arc and depth, and that's so important in becoming a better shooter, the arc and the depth. Players can track their progress and analyze their performance. Players of all skill levels can benefit from the personalized training programs that they offer. They use what they call NOAA Analytics. It's developed by NASA and Carnegie Mellon College. Everything the athletes do in their facility is recorded and stored in a members app. You can watch their progress in real time. Currently in Collierville, Shoot 360 Memphis is moving its facility to an even bigger space in Cordova. It will be state-of-the-art, and it's going to open up on June 1st. They're taking registrations right now for that move to Cordova. So give them a call at 901-316-5500. Go to Shoot 360 Memphis to sign up, or just go see them at their current location in Collierville. It's Shoot 360 Memphis. All right, NBA. Lots to get to as far as the NBA is concerned. Also, the draft lottery is it a week from yesterday?
It is coming up Sunday.
Yep. This Sunday, Mother's Day, is the NBA draft lottery. There was some
opportunity to live. Get started at no doubt.
There was some sad news to report over the weekend before we dive into the actual playoffs themselves. Darius Morris, And I remember this guy at Michigan. He was a heck of a player. He was drafted in the second round by the Lakers in 2011. Passed away at the age of 33. Played a little bit for the Grizzlies on a 10-day contract. I don't remember that, but I thought Darius Morris was a kid that was going to be a pretty good NBA player. It didn't pan out that way, and I don't know the cause of the death. I don't think they've let that information out, or they even know that information at this point. But all I know is to see that at 33, it's just alarming.
Yeah, I mean, 33 years old is that's crazy, and I don't think at this point they know what the cause of death is, or at least they certainly have not said that. It's awful news to anything. I mean, when you hear of a 33-year-old passing away, he was Michigan. He was awesome, and then in the NBA, it never really worked out for him. But he played overseas for a little while as well. But sad stuff right there.
Breaking news from 5 minutes ago. So fresh off the presses, as they say, Jason Kidd has signed a multi-year contract extension with Dallas. So for the Lakers or any teams thinking they could pilfer him, not to be. Jason Kidd and the Mavericks moving into the second round of the playoffs after knocking off the Los Angeles Clippers, winning that series in six games. So Jay Kidd is signed up. In the meantime, with the Lakers and the firing of Darvin Ham, what direction do they go in when it looks like Ty Lue may get his extension with the Clippers? Nothing etched in stone. He has 1 year remaining on his contract, Ty Lue. He says he likes it with the Clippers, right? Both teams obviously in Los Angeles, but he likes the situation with the Clippers. As long as Steve Ballmer likes you, he's got a lot of money. And I'm not sure what that team's going to do, if they're going to run it back. They've had injury issues. Again, they go out in the first round. But I don't think Ty Lue is going anywhere. So that leaves the Lakers with a vacancy. And it isn't going to be somebody like Jay Kidd trying to, again, pilfer him from Dallas as he signs the contract extension. All right. Second round is underway, at least for two teams, and they'll play game two tonight. Minnesota and Denver. How about the Minnesota Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards? We'll talk about that and the rest of the NBA postseason when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:52 the time. Winding down hour number one here on this Monday, May 6th, 2024. Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Zach Boyd. Again, hope you had a great weekend. We've kind of jumped around a bunch of different topics here in hour number one. No guests scheduled today, so certainly we're going to cover a lot of ground. We'll take your calls and your texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. All right, so let's start our conversation, and then we'll continue in hour two of the NBA playoffs as we do have a little action from round two to discuss, because the second round series between the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, and the Minnesota Timberwolves got underway over the weekend. And surprise, surprise, Minnesota goes into Denver, holds the Nuggets under 100, wins 106-99. Anthony Edwards, I think now we have to call him Anthony freaking Edwards, 43 points. The guy is unreal. I said the other day, and I'm not alone in this, that he will be the face of the NBA. I don't think there's any question in my mind. But good for the conductor, right? I mean, Minnesota, Minnesota won it all, it would not be a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination, because you got Mike Conley, got Kyle Anderson, you got former Grizzlies. Conley had 14 with 10 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had a big first half. He ends up with 20. The Joker goes for 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Took too many threes. He was 2 of 9 from 3. Jamal Murray was scoreless in the first half, came back in the second half, And Naz Reid was a difference maker. 16 points, including 10 straight at one point during a pivotal fourth quarter stretch. And Minnesota draws first blood. They'll play game two tonight in the Mile High City. And now Denver, with their backs against the wall, have to win to even up the series. But Minnesota has already stolen home court advantage.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, I think the playing with the Team USA this past summer, I think kind of helped him realize almost like how good he is and how he can be. And that guy, and he is just, I mean, it's efficient. Like, he's doing whatever needs to be done. Defensively, he's coming up with these huge blocks. He's scoring at an incredible level. This may just be the start of it. Obviously going to be in the Olympic team and be there this year with a group of unbelievable players. But man, he is what he is doing right now in this postseason is pretty incredible.
I know people want to pile on Tom Crean, who was the coach at Georgia when Anthony Edwards came out of high school to play his only year before going to the NBA. And sure, he deserves a little bit of the blame. The team went under 500 and did not make the NCAA tournament. But it also shows you that it's not the easiest transition for talented players to go from high school to college. Some make it seemingly without any hiccups. No problem. Others struggle. Derrick Rose struggled until he got it down where he was comfortable with everybody, comfortable with the whole college scene, made the transition from a very talented high school team to college, and then took over. It never really happened for Edwards. He had certainly moments, and he had some big games, but I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a cop-out to just say this is all Crean's fault, but some of it was, and some of it was Edwards, and some of it was just the whole chemistry or lack thereof for that Georgia team. Because Anthony Edwards, and I bought into it. This guy's not as good as what they said he was. When he played the 1 year at Georgia, I go, oh my gosh, this guy's not that good. He's great. He's unbelievable. His arms are so long, so even though he's not 6'9", is up there blocking shots with that reach. His timing's impeccable. He has great handles. And you know what? He plays defense as well, on a team that has great defensive players led by Rudy Gobert. I still think Denver's winning the series and winning the NBA title, but I may be eating my words because Minnesota is that good.
Well, Edwards, guy averaged nearly 20 points a game in that 1 year at Georgia, so let's not act like he didn't know what he was doing. He has become a much better three-point shooter than... And that was the question, I think, the one question people had, because at Georgia he did not shoot the three well. He was under 30%. And you always thought, like, if he can add that three-point shot, because certainly the athleticism, strength, everything else, he's going to be able to do his stuff, getting to the rim, all of that stuff. Now he has gotten himself to where he's, you know, the last 3 years now, after his first year when he was about under 33%, last 3 years he's been over 35%, this year 35.7% from three-point range. And so he's added that extra, you know, just all he's got to do is make sure he's a threat from there so defenders can't just sag off of him. Plus, he's getting to the free throw line a lot now. Again, he's still so young. Like, the dude was born in 2001, which is just... It's like I can't fathom that. But
especially me when I have children that were born in 87 and 90.
Like the idea of the fact that he still hasn't turned 23 years old and is doing this in the postseason and is going to be a part of the Olympic team, all of this stuff, absolutely amazing, mm-hmm. amazing stuff that he's doing right now. This hour of our program is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Well, all the rain we had yesterday and Looks like we're maybe some more. Maybe it's not the best time to get out of the grill, but hey, May is National Barbecue Month. And of course, we got the Memphis in May World Championship Barbecue Contest coming up in a couple weeks. Big Green Egg will be in town. They'll be out there. They'll be cooking on the Big Green Eggs. Free samples for folks out there at the Memphis in May Barbecue Contest. So you can stop by, see them, try some of the food, get some ideas, and of course, check out the Big Green Egg in action. They got all the different sizes, seven different sizes of eggs for you to choose from, all the egg accessories as well, everything you need to just produce unbelievable food off the best grill that there is. And it's the last grill you'll ever need to buy. BigGreenEgg.com is the website. Again, go see them. If you're going to be out at the Memphis in May Barbecue Contest, they're certainly going to be out there as well for you to see them in person. Ask any questions. They'll have all kinds of people out there to answer questions. And again, you can see them, get ideas, cooking right there at that and try some of that food yourself. It is the Big Green Egg.
All right, we'll continue talking NBA and NBA playoffs to open up hour number two. If you got a comment, a question, a concern, hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.